Almighty God, by your will from eternity, your Son bore the pains of sin and death on the cross so that his death would redeem us from sin and reconcile you to us. We thank you for giving us eyes of faith to see Jesus' death, in Jesus' death our salvation. As we grieve over our sins, help us remember the sacrifice Jesus made so that we look to him alone for salvation. Grant us ears to hear his cries of anguish, that we might know the cost of our redemption and trust alone in his blood for the remission of our sins. Give us thankful hearts that desire to serve and worship him who gave up everything for us. Bless us with believing hearts that trust in his promises so that we also one day will enter paradise to be with you forever. We pray this in the name of our Redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this Good Friday is the first verses of Psalm 22, which you've already read. I'll read the first two verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, many people in the world felt anguish as they watched the fire burn down the church in Paris and Notre Dame. This 800-year-old church was a national treasure in France. However, the real tragedy is that the Christian faith that built this church is no longer among the majority of those who live in Europe. And that is a tragedy because many people do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The fire should call everyone to examine their relationship with God, cause them to repent of their sins, and to worship Jesus as their Savior. Instead of crying over a building that burned, we should listen to the anguish of Jesus as he is on the cross. It's interesting that King David wrote those words about Jesus' cries of anguish 1,000 years before the event happened. Our text gives us a sense of this anguish and suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. Let us therefore tonight listen to the cry of our dying Savior. We need to listen carefully so that we hear his cry of anguish and that we hear his cry of trust. What could King David, who lived 1,000 years before Jesus, how could he know what happened to Jesus? How could he know Jesus' very words that he spoke from the cross? The answer lies in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For just as the Holy Spirit could give Moses the information about the creation of the world that happened centuries before Moses was alive, so the Holy Spirit can give to King David 1,000 years before the very words, not only that Jesus spoke, but the very words that were spoken by the enemies at the cross. For God sees all of the time in a glimpse, and he breathed into David the very words that Christ spoke. And David wrote the most striking words that Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? With this question, why, Jesus was not questioning God's goodness or criticizing what God has done. The question, why, really means, for what reason? Why me? Why did this happen? And the answer is to this why meant that Jesus had to suffer the full effects of death in order that he might help us and be our Savior. For in hell, the devil and his angels experience the torment that is total separation from God. That's the suffering of hell, at least part of it. And that's what Jesus experienced on the cross. In his answer to why, St. Paul says, as through one man's offense, judgment came upon all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Listen to the words of the Messiah as he describes his situation as he's hanging on the cross. I am a worm, a reproach of men. They shoot out their lip and shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. His enemies stood at the cross, casting doubt on whether Jesus truly was the Son of God as he claimed. Since God didn't rescue him, they concluded that Jesus could not be the Son of God, that God did not care for him, had nothing to do for him, and could not help him. But God did care for Jesus. He sent an angel in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen Jesus for this ordeal that he would endure, even the separation or forsakenness of God. The Bible says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So while there is a separation that Jesus described by these words, something that we cannot understand, how Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross can be separated from God, we leave those words as they stand. He was suffering as the God-man for our sins. And that's why Jeremiah asked this question in the book of Lamentations. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there's no sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me. No other man in the world has suffered as Jesus did on the cross. He suffered the full weight of God's anger and righteous judgment over sin. We hear the suffering in Jesus' words, why have you forsaken me? Our psalm also described the physical suffering of Jesus on the cross. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. My tongue clings to my jaws. Crucifixion is designed to destroy a person's strength, a person's personality, and a person's honor. Thirst, weakness, shame, insults, God forsaking Jesus. That's a load that no human being could bear by himself. But it is the load that Jesus bore for you and I. He is the Son of God. He can carry that load. He did carry that load because he loved us. In spite of all the troubles that came to him on the cross, we hear Jesus say, my God, my God. One could conclude that if God put Jesus on the cross, then Jesus had some reason to complain, that he would speak against God, and human beings would. But Jesus still trusted in God because he knew that God's will was being done. He knew that he had to endure the suffering because of the sins of the world. He knew that through his suffering on the cross, our sins would be atoned, paid for, redeemed by the blood shed on the cross. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, King David wrote this psalm to describe the anguish of this Messiah's suffering and his death. Amid his cry of anguish, we also are to hear his prayer of trust in God. David describes what the people said to the Messiah. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. David described these mockers as, many bulls have surrounded me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. This mockery also tormented Jesus because he had claimed to be the Son of God, and they were making fun of that, fun of him. There was nothing that showed the evidence to these mockers that God did not care for him, and nothing they wouldn't say to make his suffering even more greater. The mockery that tormented Jesus, all we see that Jesus' response was not like humans. As St. Peter said, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to judge to him who judges righteously. Now, amid the mockery and taunting and scorn of the people, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. and even to the thieves who mocked him, the thief who mocked him, and then said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. But what would Jesus say to his father who put him on the cross? He could rightly say that the temptation would be to accuse God of allowing injustice to happen to someone who is innocent, who had committed no sin, who did not deserve this death. And yet we hear Jesus say at the end, Father, into your hands I commit my soul. Jesus trusted in God's love. Jesus trusted in God's will. Jesus trusted that his Father still cared about him, still loved him, and that he would take his soul into heaven. Jesus' only hope and strength, his refuge and help, is in God. Even though God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, and though it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus to make his soul an offering for sin, Isaiah also declares, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. With this death, Jesus fulfilled God's justice. God's wrath was satisfied by the sacrifice Jesus made. Therefore, God declares that he has been reconciled and that sinners are forgiven. He has forgiven all sin on account of what Jesus has done for us. On this Good Friday, when we listen to Jesus' words, John records the most important word that Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. The Greek word implies and means not just finished, ended. It is accomplished. It is complete. Those are words that we need to hear and we need to trust in. Jesus means that everything has been done for our salvation. Nothing else needed to be added. In fact, if we try and add works or other things to Jesus to save ourselves, we're saying that Jesus didn't do enough, that he couldn't do everything, and therefore we had to add something. But that would be blasphemous. It would detract from Jesus. He said, it is complete. It is finished for us. All the troubles and agony and death that Jesus suffered were worth it to God in order that we might be forgiven and saved. God has declared that all people who trust in Jesus as their Savior are forgiven of all their sins. Our psalm put it this way, all the families of the nations of the earth shall worship before you. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. The word his righteousness deals with the righteousness Jesus won for us on the cross. The righteousness that God gives us through faith given to us by the Holy Spirit. We are to believe that Jesus has accomplished everything for us. We are to believe that he loved us and gave us eternal life through faith in him. May we also declare the holiness and righteousness of God to others so that they may know Jesus, so that they may have the same comfort and assurance of salvation. May God bless us this Good Friday as we hear the cry and anguish of our Savior, but as we also trust in him for salvation. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.